calling on the God of Jacob.
I got down to the end of my page here, and it was going to jump into an area of being set apart, but also where it spoke of being a treasure of his. But so we talked a little bit about that, and I would encourage you to always, well, not always, but always, yes, I just said it again, always, but go to the website, harvesterschurch.org. You can pick up our messages, most recent ones about being set apart, being about the message of the cross, and today it's going to be out there too for this here about being a special treasure, being set apart as a special treasure. And I think it's an encouragement, and what I guess God is just, what I sense from God and what I want to accomplish, if nothing else, is to make sure that you understand how special you are to God. I'm tired of this world beating us down. I'm tired of what people say the world says of them. It doesn't matter what the world says who you are. What matters of who you are is what God says who you are. Amen? And God loves you, and God cares for you, and God has set us apart. He has sanctified us. He has made us a special treasure, a vessel of honor, you know, a royal priesthood. We'll touch upon some of those things. But now, well, hopefully it'll be shared along the line. As we are those things, it just doesn't come because I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior per se. It does, yes, but much of it is also that I clean up my ways of living, that I'm following him more, that I'm following what he asks of me, that I'm reading his word, and that I'm putting his word into my life every day so that I can be set apart. That's why he is setting us apart. It's not that I'm apart. It's his word in us sets us apart from what this world is about, right? And so it's cleaning us up. It's getting us closer to him. Amen. It is getting us to be that where he says, you are to be like a vessel of honor. And that's important. Amen. Now, you go back into the Old Testament and you talk about vessels and cups and vessels and honor. It was really, really important back in those days of vessels of honor and things that they did in the church and in the synagogue and things that they would do in the times of prayer and going before the altar. But anyway, we want to look at this today in the regards to, and we're going to start with Deuteronomy 14:2. In Deuteronomy 14:2, you know, as I was going through the last week or two and looking at being set apart and sanctified, a holy people, then as I was reading in the New Testament, it threw me back into some connections to passages back in the Old Testament. And that's where we read about what God said about the people then, the Israelites, the Jewish people back then that were following him and obedient to him. And as he brought them out of Egypt, they were a special people. They were a chosen people that he has brought out. They were coming out and he was taking them into the promised land. But anyway, this is kind of looking at those times back in the Old Testament. So much of this, as you are a treasure, he is speaking to the Jewish people, that those that are following and obeying him, they are his treasure. Well, what they are doing, and as they are following him then, we are the same today. Amen. We are Gentiles, but we've been engrafted in. We have been adopted. And what those words and what he was saying, I believe, back in that day about being a special people, a special treasure, is for us today as well as we are following him. Now, he was taking the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery and bondage. Amen? In our New Testament, what Jesus did upon the cross that we spoke about a few weeks ago is he brought us that ability to break loose of that sin, forgive us of our sin, to put us in reconciling us back to God. And what happened there is we came out of bondage. People of today are still in bondage that don't have Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? And so there's a lot of people, even in America, that are living in Egypt in their spiritual life and what they're doing. And so they're in bondage. And our message of today, the message of the cross, is to get this out to them. It's for us to go out and to share that I'm set apart as you can be set apart. I'm a treasure of God. You can be a treasure of God. But we have to obey and follow and listen to his ordinances, his commandments, and those things that he has instructed the children of Israel is for us as well of today, right? So as we looked at this, and it says, Now, this is in Deuteronomy 14. If I back up here in 13, it's talking about the punishments. And it's talking about if you are being led astray, if someone is coming and telling you about other gods, do not listen to them, run from them. You know, it says, if there arises among you, 13:1, in Deuteronomy 13:1, before we get to 14, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You, what does he say? You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer or dreamers, or dreams of, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. God is testing them to find out. He tests us at times. He's not trying to have us fall, but I think it's just that by the trying of our faith and the test that we go through, and life in general gives you a test. You know, we're on a, every day is a test. I hate a test in schools. Maybe you guys love them, maybe not. But as we go through this life, what comes our way is to see where we're at with God, how strong we're with him, how much we believe he's there for us, how much we know that he has not turned his back. He's the same God of Jacob, the same God of Mary, the same God of David, the same God of Moses. Amen? He's the same God today in your situation, and he will bring you out. But you've got to be firm and strong in him. And he did these things to see, where are you at? But he is telling this all the way here, don't go with them. Don't listen to them. You shall walk after the Lord, in verse 4, your God, and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. So that's what chapter 13 is going through about. If things come across and they're trying to take you off of me as your God, don't follow them. Get away from them. And then it goes on as far as what to do with the ones and things of that nature. Now we get into 14, and it's talking here in 14, these prohibitions are against mourning customs of the pagan cults for the dead. So we look at as far as how the pagans would deal with the death and how they would mourn and do. So he is saying these things. Now don't do these things. As we get into 14:1, that's where he says, you are children of the Lord your God. Don't cut yourself and shave in front of your head of the dead and things of that nature. That was all things that pagans would do. That was all rituals. Rituals. God does not want us to have rituals. Get away from a thing that a church or anything of today that has what? Rituals that we have to go through and follow through step by step to the point of where it just becomes that of a ritual. But he is saying this in verse 2. Why? For you. Why does he say get away from those and stay away from those? For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. When we look at this, for you are a holy, and that holy means this, set apart. So when he's speaking of you are a set apart people to the Lord your God, you're holy, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people or peoples who are on the face of the earth. Let that soak in. We are a special treasure. Now, when we have something in the natural that's a special treasure to us, it's been in the family for a while, you know, for decades and generations, it's a treasure to us. It's a memory. But, you know, a special treasure, anything, we take care of it. We may put it in a special place, right, in a cabinet or something, or a curio or a shelf, or this is a treasure of ours. Well, think of that as God is looking at us as his people. Out of all the people in the earth, we are his special treasures and what he thinks of us. The thing is, praise God, he's not set us on a shelf not to do something. We are a special treasure, of course, but he wants us to do things. He wants us to go out and proclaim. He wants us to go out and share. He wants us to go out and help others with what we have been helped with by that of the Spirit of God, be that of Jesus and our salvation and things of that nature. He wants us to go out and relate that same message to those that are out there. So as we look at this, special treasures, look at what is a definition of special. Now, sometimes when you'd hear the natural, like, oh, aren't you special? It was like, oh, you know, yes. But special in what it meant in Hebrew and what it was talking about back there, special would be this, a possession, personal property, a special treasure, We find that this noun occurs 8 times in the Old Testament. In 5 of these occurrences, it is speaking of Israel as God's special treasure. Okay, remember I talked about in the Old Testament, what God is speaking to is the children of Israel. He's trying to get them understanding of who they are to him and what he is to them if they keep it in the proper perspective. But even back then, there were things that always wanted to come across their path and take them from him. He would do good for them and something would come along and they would get their eyes fixated on something else, on some other God, on some other situation, or we don't need him now because everything is good. We fast forward to our lives today. We are the same way. God helps us out. We are so thankful. And it's not long sometimes we put our eyes on something else and we take our eyes off of God. We find out that, well, everything is going good. I don't need God, so I'm going to go on my own. And then we have a struggle and we cry out to God. Do we not read that in the Old Testament with the children of Israel? Yes. So same thing back in those days, same thing of today. But we find out that it occurred back in the Old Testament, 5 of those 8 times met of the children of Israel. In 2 references, it speaks of the prized possessions of kings or royal treasures. And then the one last remaining reference to this is Malachi 3:17. In Malachi 3:17, you don't have to turn there, but in 3:17, this is where we're going to find out. In Malachi 3:17, which speaks of the people God will regard as his jewels, okay? Man's treasures are in the material objects, but consistently in Scripture, you will find that God's treasure is human beings, people, his creation. Malachi, 3:17. In Malachi 3:17, he's talking about a book of remembrances. 16 says, then those who had feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And so a book of remembrances was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who would meditate on his name. And verse 17 is where it's at. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my what? Jewels. You look at that word, jewels is going to be the same word as we would say, they are going to be my special treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves them or serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. There's the relation. Remember, we're talking about special. And it was 8 times in the Old Testament. 5 of them were speaking of the children of Israel. A couple were talking about kings and things of that nature being a treasure and things of that nature where they're at. And then this one about how people, individuals, are a treasure, a jewel to that of God. How many here are a people? How many here are human? I am. I'm a jewel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to get excited. Once you know who you are in God, once you know the value that God puts upon you, no matter what Satan tries to tell you who you are or what you are missing or what you're not, you tell Satan to get me behind me. You know, get behind me, Satan, because my God speaks to me as a special treasure, set apart, sanctified. And the devil doesn't want to hear that. He's out there to try to gain and glean all he can from God's kingdom. Remember, those in the world that are lost, Satan can care less about them. At this point, unless they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to hell. He's already got them. What Satan wants to do, he wants to come into the camp, God's camp, and he wants to pull you out. He wants to pull you out. He wants to pull you out. All of these things that anything that he can pull out of the kingdom of God, it's almost like he's sticking his tongue out at God saying, nanny, 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 look what I did. These were your people. You did this for them, and look how they've turned on you. Ha ha, they weren't very strong in what you've asked them to be, or whatever the case might be. But we, if we have forewarning, are aware of that, we stand for that of God. And then that's when we have got to say, like Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to be on my alert system, to where the Spirit alerts me to these things that the enemy is trying to destroy. The enemy is wanting to snatch, steal, kill, take, whatever, from me, right? And if the Spirit of God is in us and teaching us and showing us and we're reading his word and he's saying, be aware, alert, 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 we will be on guard, not in fear, Not in trembling, not always walking through this life of looking behind us thinking like, oh, the devil's going to jump out and get me. No, we walk through this life in a surety of that of God. I'm a special treasure. I am God's child. I'm God's child. And nothing is going to get me. God is going before me. God is behind me. God is around me. God will send angels. Hallelujah. That's why I need to have Ina come up. She was sharing about when they were standing on a train platform and nowhere to go. And some lady woke up in the mid-evening and said, the Lord woke me up to say to go down. There's a family that needs a place to stay. This is while they were leaving and going out through that of Germany and things like that. And this lady came to that platform and there she was. She says, like an angel, right, Ina? See, God helps us. He is there for you. They didn't even have an inkling of understanding per se, but God already is helping. He's out there being what he is and sending angels to help us. Hallelujah. But God is always there. Either he is going to be there or his angels are going to be around us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, as we look at this, as we think of, for you are a special people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of this earth. I look at this to where when I see a treasure above all the earth, thank you, Father, hallelujah, for you are a holy people. Just quickly, some references in the New Testament. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Holy, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. A living sacrifice, since Christians, both Jew and Gentiles, are the new people of God, the new Israel, then should we not offer sacrifices to God, just as in the Old Testament? Well, yes, but we're not going to do animal sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. Rather, we should offer our bodies, all that we are, as a what? Living sacrifice. He's not looking for you to be a dead sacrifice. There's nothing in a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice will go out and do what he's asked you to do. We're going to sacrifice what? Well, let's look at this. The Greek translates the service used here to refer to ceremonies of Jewish temple worship. The word translated reasonable can mean pertaining to reason, such as suggest that a rational response to God's mercies. We go on to this, and it's really just we present ourselves to God. We lift up our hearts, our hands, our praise, our voices to God to worship him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And do not be conformed, it goes on to say. So as we are looking at this, we can look also in Deuteronomy 7:6. Let's jump back to Deuteronomy. Now let's go to 7:6. We're going to hear again 7:6. The beginning of my chapter of chapter 7 says we are a chosen people. When the Lord your God, 7:1, brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and all the Zites, and things of that nature, seven nations that were greater and mightier than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. We're not going to get into that realm of the covenant, because this is all, as we get back into this a little bit, is talking about the covenant that he cut with Abraham. You know, so we got to look at that, but we're not going to have time to get into the covenant. But that's what this is all about. This is based under the covenant of what God had put back in the Old Testament, and it flows through the entire passages of the Bible into the New Testament, a covenant. But here again, verse 7, or chapter 7, down into verse 6. For you are a what? Holy, which you can put holy as set apart. We talked about that as earlier last week, being set apart. You are a holy or set apart people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has done what? He has chosen you to be a people for himself. And here it is, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Above all. That means a lot. All. But here again, he is saying, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. In 7:6, when it's talking about a holy, for you are a holy people, holy refers to a separated people. Israel was a holy people because of their relationships to God. We are a separated people because of what? Our relationship to who? God. God the Creator. God that put all this into existence. He started everything from the very foundations of the world. God. Our God. The God. Okay. Because of their relationships to God. Their relationships was a result of a divine choice, a choice whose essence remains a mystery. We don't quite understand, but he took the Jewish people and he chose them. And you'd have to go back through some studies to find out they were the chosen people and he picked them. Wasn't anything fantastic about them and all that, but he picked them. And it's just like us, you know. We are a chosen people, you know, as of today. We will get back into, I think it's 1 Peter, as we hopefully end this. We get there about being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We have got to get to the clearance and the understanding of this in our spirit that we are a chosen. You were chosen before the foundations of this world. God knew us. We talked before last week, before we got into being set apart. We talked about Jeremiah and things about he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew each of us. He knew each of you before you were born. He knows that you're sitting in these chairs this very day, this very hour, right now. Amen? You're fulfilling God's plan, I believe. Hallelujah. And thank you for being at Harvesters Church. He's drawn us together as a body of believers, wanting to go out and proclaim these things, but we want, and he wants to build us up to where we can go out and that we can take on the things of this world, the things of this life, because you are a good people, a chosen people, a very special people, a unique people. One of the areas I was reading in the Amplified would say this, a peculiar people. How right is that? The world would say, yeah, you're peculiar, for sure. But special, peculiar, I'll take it. It's God. You know, if it's my God, let me be. Hallelujah. As long as I'm bringing glory to him, that's what it's all about, is honoring and glorifying him, bringing attention to him, not attention to Harvester's Church, not attention to Tim, not attention to yourself individually. We bring attention to God. We bring attention to Jesus. We bring attention to the Holy Spirit, the three in one that's working in our lives, that's working in our church, that's working in our homes, you know, whatever the case might be. It's just like, hey, I was out there, but now I'm in here. You're out there. You can be in here new. You can be in here too, you know. Just receive Jesus Christ. It's there. It's there for free. Hallelujah. You don't even have to accept cookies. To getting, the stuff on computers now, every time you want to take something or do something or somebody wants to download or you want to go to a site, it says, here's our cookie policy. Accept them and then we'll come and we'll share things with you. If not, we may not give you anything or all of it because we didn't accept all of their cookies. Cookies are things that they want to follow and track you. That's what it's all about. We did not have to take a cookie to receive Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We just said, I want you to be my Lord and Savior and forgive me of my sins. I repent from them. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes, Lord. Woo! Well, hallelujah. Okay. It's just pretty exciting to know that there was no strings attached. When I came to Jesus, there was no strings attached. The world's got all kinds of strings. Sign here, initial here, initial that. Let us do this, let us do that. Oh, you won't let us do that? Well, we won't let you have this then. Oh, no. Freely given, he said. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross. Died for you. Rose again. Now at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. That's pretty exciting. In the Amplified, let me bring this. Oh, maybe I already said this. Or maybe I didn't. Let me read it where I've got it on my paper here. New King James, and I'm going to throw in some of the words from Amplified or some things that were added to it. You are a holy, again, we talked about that, set apart people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure. And the Amplified spoke it this way. Not just a special treasure, it says in the Amplified, it blows that out to his very special treasure. God. The Creator put all this together. He looks at you as a treasure, but a very special treasure. Think about that. You know that old saying we say, God doesn't make junk? People out there are down on themselves. People think they're not good enough. People think I'm not this, I'm not that. No. That's the lies of the enemy to destroy your life. We can tell them that God doesn't make junk. Receive Jesus Christ. Let him come into your life. Begin to follow what God has for you. And he's got a place for you prepared as well. But I like that where it said a very special treasure above all, or out of all, the Amplified would say, above all, or out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. Now, when we look at holy, let me bounce into a little definition of holy. Holy is this, set apart. Okay, we've talked about this. We got to keep driving the point home. When you see holy, you're being set apart, you're being sanctified, dedicated to sacred purposes, holy, sacred, clean, morally or ceremonially pure. We find this verb means to be set apart something or someone for a holy purpose. We are set apart for a purpose. We are set apart to serve God. We are children of his, and we are about the Father's business. Amen? Holiness is separation from everything profane and defiling, and at the same time, it is a dedication to everything holy and pure. People or even objects, such as an anointing oil or vessels, may be considered holy to the Lord. And so it goes on to share some things of that nature of being holy. But it is this. We are a people or objects. We are set apart. And once we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our set apart began. Don't you believe that? We began to be separated from this world. We began to walk differently, look at things differently, begin to have a different outlook on life, began to figure out that there is something to this. How many people out there are trying to figure out this life? Young and old. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of people out there, if you had asked them, they're trying to figure out what's this life all about? Why am I here? What's going on? Am I that special? Yes, you're that special, but you find out how special you are. Let me introduce you to Jesus. And let's begin to read some Word of God to find out what God thinks you are, what God says you are, and what God speaks over us. As God speaks these things, as he was speaking, you know, to the children of Israel as they were coming out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage and things, you know, he was speaking to those that were leading them out, but they were saying, this is what God is saying. This is what we're to do. God says this. God is speaking this. We have today in the New Testament church, or where we're at now with that of the Holy Spirit, God is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God, by that of the Holy Spirit, is saying, Tim, you're a chosen son of mine. I have set you apart. Follow me. Obey this. Separate yourself from the things of this world. Don't do those things that you used to do. You've got to change. Amen. How many know that when you came to Christ, things had to be changing in your life? We couldn't do the same things. We had to become peculiar. Your friends go, hey, we always went out and did this. Let's go. And you go, nope, can't do that no more. I've changed. What do you mean you changed? And that's not going to do it. Well, that's peculiar. And they go on and do their thing while you separated yourself from the world. Sometimes we don't want to separate ourselves from the world because we've been in the world for so long. It's like, well, what are my friends going to think? What is even, oh my gosh, what's my family going to think? It's those things that we have to realize there are some times there's a separation of things. Sad to say, even within families, we don't want it to be, and God doesn't want it to be that way. But God is saying, if they're going to drag you down, you've got to separate yourself. If they're going to take you somewhere where you don't want to go, if you're going to go with them to where they're going down a road that I don't like or that does not honor me, you as my chosen special vessel above all others, you can't go there no more. That's where part of God's word says, even then. So much of this refers back to some of the things of choose this day. You know, there's sometimes a daily walk with God that we have to make daily choices. And sometimes the choices we have to make are not always easy. But then we have to sit there and get some time with God and follow what he is speaking into our spirit. But it's this thing of this, anything that takes me away from my God, I can't allow it to happen. I personally am responsible for me, and I have got to be personally responsible to follow that path that God has me on. And I cannot allow friends, family, or enemies to get me off of it. And the only way and the reason that I will get off of it is if I myself, by choose this day, it's me. But I'm going to tell you, if you stay with God, you will have the best life. You will have an enriched life. You will have an abundant life. Amen? You will begin to, as things wear away, you will begin to have an enjoyment in life, and you'll be able to say, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe that these friends that I've been hanging around with all these years, I can't believe how much they were really dragging me down and really kind of draining and drawing things out of me. Now that I've separated myself, you know, from that individual or person or that group or whatever that setting was, I'm beginning to see more abundance in my life. I'm beginning to see more peace in my life. I'm beginning to see so much more at ease in my life. I'm also beginning to see a much more wonderful creation of God. You're just looking around at things. Anyway, that's one of those things. As we look about being set apart and all, and a very special treasure, and being holy and set apart to these things, we've got to look at that. And holy refers to a separated people in verse 7-6. Israel was a holy people because of their relationship to God. The relationship was a result of a divine choice, a choice whose essence remains a mystery. So remember that, a divine choice. Who here today gets to make a choice? Every one of you. Now, to look at this special treasure, we're going to go, here we go again. You know, you get into the towards the middle or the end of the Old Testament or any of the books, and then I like our little footnotes or our little cross-references because he begins to take you on a journey. Amen? Isn't it wonderful? As you read your Bible and you follow, if you've got a Bible that has cross-references and where it talks about being set apart, oh, you'll find that word back here in this book, in this book, in this book. Oh, what about being a treasure? You'll find that in here, in here, in here. So now we're going to go, as we look at this, for being a special treasure, let's go to Exodus 19. See, we're getting to get back there to where this all began to develop. This is Exodus. We're exiting. The children of Israel, the Jewish people, they're exiting. They're coming out of Egypt. Oh, hallelujah. So let's look at this. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, I love God. Isn't it great that He tells you what you got to do. Hello. For us to remain His, to remain chosen, to be a special vessel, to be a special treasure. It's the same thing He's telling them here for you here. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey, we got to obey His voice and keep His covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people. Here again, we're seeing that word again, what? Above all people. For all the earth is His. All the earth is mine. If I would read further into 6, it says, and then you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And this is where, as Moses went up to God, so God is speaking to Moses because, you know, Moses was like the in-between of God. Okay, now God says, now go, tell them this. Okay, He would tell them that. Israel children, they'd have a question. Maybe he'd go to God and find out. He was like intermediary. He was going back and forth because they didn't want to address God. You go talk to him, Moses, and come back and tell us what he is saying. But anyway, as we see this, it's talking about, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. As I look at this, God to whom all the earth belongs promised to make Israel His own special treasure. This promise was contingent upon them accepting a covenant with Him and keeping it. Being called my kingdom of priests, my holy nation, meant that they would become intermediaries between a holy God and a lost world. Being called my kingdom of priests and my holy nation meant that they would become intermediaries between a holy God and a lost world. That's what we are today. We are the intermediaries. We are given an assignment as children of God, as set apart, sanctified, as being holy, set apart, as a special treasure of His. We have a job to do. Again, it's not just to come to church, do your time, go home and have fun, and say, well, I did my thing. It's 24/7, 7 days a week. There's always being something for that of the kingdom of God. Sharing something, praying for someone, you know, sharing about the word of God with someone, listening to somebody's question and being willing to share some things. God, I believe, will bring people to you by that of the Holy Spirit, and they will ask you some questions. That is your cue to, okay, here you're going to do it. Now you're going to start sharing what God is in your life. And it's going to be a good thing. Amen? And that's how we begin to spread the gospel. He may tell you to go yell on the street corner. Maybe, probably not. It's going to be one-on-one, individual, co-workers, friends, neighbors, family, you name it, strangers, whatever the case might be. But it'll generally be like a one-on-one and just sharing your time with God and what does it mean to you? What has He done for you? Why do you wear that cross? Or why do you go to church so often? Things of that nature. And they're not being trying to, like, you know, like, why do you do that? It's like they might have an honest question, and you're just going to share, because I like to be with other people of faith, and I feel like I get encouraged on Sundays. I feel like God's word is addressed to me, and that's where we kind of hear it as a corporate body. That's where we can pray as a corporate body. That's where we know, you know, brothers and sisters that are going through things, that we can lift them up and keep them in our prayers throughout the week. It's a wonderful place to go. Amen. Well, I think so anyway. Now, I may be partial. I don't know. So when we talk about this kingdom of priests, in these verses, the Lord is indicating, this is just a dynamic information of my Bible, these verses, the Lord is indicating His objective for His delivered people. How many here are delivered? This is for you, you kingdom of priests, you. His purpose for their destiny requires their understanding. His essential priority for them is what? Worship. His redemptive priority for them, okay, His essential priority for them is worship, His redemptive goal and kingdom reinstatement. And as they learn to worship as a nation of priests, as we learn to worship as who we are, they will discover His foundational means for their possessing their future victories. Through worshiping of that of God, hallelujah, you will find the means for your possessing your future victories. I want you to say that out loud. Say, I have future victories. Woo! You gotta shout it from the mountaintop sometime. Monday morning, you might get up, and you're down, you might say, I. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for those future victories that I will have. Okay, so for their possessing their future victories as ones whose domain or kingdom He has promised. Their restored rule from sharing to kingdom possession extends from their walk before God in worship. Now, as we look at this, and this is all tied, like, in Israel's deliverance from Egypt, is not only a triumphant testimony, it is God's timeless type showing His plans and methods for the church's deliverance and intended conquest. This is still for today. This is still going on for those upcoming victories, these things that we are still heading towards. I am not advancing with that of God anticipating to be a failure. I'm advancing with God to be a success, because God has prepared the way. God is my deliverer. God is going before me. He will, you know, draw the mountains down, make the valleys rise, change the crooked road to straight. All of these things in your situation that you're dealing with, in whatever it is, you have got to go into it not expecting failure, but expecting a victory. Victory. Ooh. Jesus didn't die on the cross to lose a battle. I don't serve a fallen Jesus. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I care not what others say. I don't care what the world says. I know what my Bible says. I know what my God says. I know what my God says about me. And I'm going to be that person. I'm looking at the victories that I'm going to take. And I'm going to take ground. Amen? We are going to advance things that we have lost in our times and our families and our own individual life. Not here, just in your own life. Hallelujah. God can reinstate it to you. Do you believe it? And not only just give it to you back, but give it to you with interest. It's only temporarily that the devil will take it from you if you know who you are in that of Christ, that where you can get that victory, where you're going and advancing forward with who you are. I'm a set apart person. I'm a sanctified person. I'm a holy person. I'm a special treasure of God. My goodness, if I'm a vessel of honor, God is not going to put me over and say, oh, he's a vessel of honor. I'm not going to do anything for him. No, he's wanting us to go and to be on fire for him. And sometimes to be on fire for him is just in your own personal life to know you got the victory. You go through a battle, you go through a situation, oh, you got to come out that and go with joy and shouting, worshiping him. Hallelujah. I love it, Lord. His foundational means for their possessing their future victories. We don't even know the total victories that we have before us. But before you have a victory, you've got to have what?
Faith.
And to have victories, usually victories are overcoming something. You can't have a victory if everything's good. I mean, I live a good life, everything's great, hallelujah. But I also know that if something comes that I'm not going to do the battle, I'm going to give it to my God. Because what does he say in his word? The battles are his. He knows we can't handle it. Why do we think we can handle it? The devil tells us we can handle it so that he can beat us up even more. Because the devil knows we can't handle it. But he'll say, you don't need to go to God. You can handle it. You're a big boy. You're a big girl. You got this. You got that. Go ahead. Do it. And every time he just eats your lunch. But if I know who I am in Christ, if I know that I've got future victories, you know, we used to sing the song way back, going to the enemy's camp to take back what he stole from me, take back what he stole from me, take back what he stole from me. The devil is good at stealing, but God is good at getting it back. As we put our trust and our faith in him, and we turn these things over to him, and we let him strategize, we let him tell us, okay, I'm going to do this for you, Tim, but now this is what I want you to play the part in. We have a part to play, amen? In this army, I have a part. We're just not sitting in our little leisure chairs. Well, they're not really leisure, I guess. They're just cushy. And allow God to do all these things, and, well, we're going to have the blessings. No, we might have to go into some warfare through prayer. It's a spiritual battle, okay? It's in the heavenlies, but those things that are changed in the heavenlies will also influence the things in the material world that we're living in because we are in this natural world. And situations come, situations that hinder us. But I'm going to pray into the spirit realm and allow the Spirit of God to intercede and to fight that. And then I'm going to trust him and I'm going to leave it with him. And then I'm going to come out of that prayer in that time, and I'm going to come into a time of what he had said in some one of these things about what? His purpose for their destiny requires their understanding, his essential priority for them? Worship. We were created to worship him. We were created to shout to him, glory, God, you are awesome. Praise you, God. He wants to hear his people praising him. As I'm praising him, hallelujah, he's dispatching angels here. Go take care of Tim's problem. Ooh, he's worshiping me. He doesn't have time for it. He can't do it anyway. Dispatch an angel or two. One big angel is all it takes. Or he might send a legion of them just to come. Ooh, and the enemy sees it in the heavenlies. Out they go. Too much for us. Oh, I thought you said we could come and whip on this guy pretty easy here. What happened? Well, he got a little bit of not religion. I got a little bit of God. Religion won't do anything for you. Religion won't win your battle. Religion won't strengthen you. Religion won't do anything other than keep you bound. So we got the devil binding us. We got the religious people binding us. No wonder we're miserable people. But if we are set apart, if we are a child of God, if we allow God to move in our lives, move in our church by that of the Spirit, whatever He wants to do, we are a victorious body, we are a victorious people. Whether it's health, whether it's a situation in a family, whether it's things that we have no clue, there are some things that come across our family situations that, what do we do? What is the answer? God. Pray. Lift it up to Him. Tell Him it's yours, God. I'm a child of yours. I haven't the ability, I haven't the strength, I haven't the wisdom to even deal with this, but You do, Lord. And it's all yours. I want time to praise You. I want time to worship. It's nothing like worshiping and praising God. Sunday mornings, you come in. Wonderful to start just worshiping and raising your hands. Singing to Jesus, singing to God. Oh, the Holy Spirit. And how many times we don't know that as we're doing that, He's taking care of something on the other side of our life. He's taking there things we don't even know about yet. I believe that my God is going before me, like He said, and He's taking care of things that I may not even know that He took care of. Because He loves me, He loves you. He doesn't want you to be beat up by this world. In this world, the god of this world is Satan. And God has the answer. Satan knows he's lost. But he's going to do all he can to mess with you. And if he can pull one person out of the kingdom of God, that makes Satan feel good. But we're going to be strong. We're going to know that my God goes before me, that I've got future victories out there. Means I've probably got future battles out there. That I got future victories out there. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. Preach it, God. Woo! Holy Spirit. Okay, God has placed the requirements and stipulations on those who have chosen to be His people. This type of covenant was common during the period of history between the overlord and his subjects. The overlord blessed and protected the people in exchange for their loyalty and obedience. You know, hey, I got my thumb on you. But then, you shall be a special treasure to me. This is what their relationship would be to him if they accepted the covenant with God. In the kingdom of priests, God had complete sway in all things. Since all the earth was His, hallelujah, and His obedient, loyal people would have dominion in the earth, we have dominion today. You've got dominion today in your world, you've got to believe it, dedicated to the Lord, God and His service, and dwelt by His presence. Yes! Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to wrap this up. Father, it's been good. I want to go to 1 Peter because I want to talk about this generation. Chosen generation. Chosen people. Ooh, God. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. Now, if you go back to around verse 4 in my Bible, 1 Peter 2, verse 4, my heading above that, which is exciting, it talks about the chosen stone and His chosen people. So it's talking about coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. Here again, precious, a living stone. Then we get down to it, and it talks about, in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you. Anybody here been called out of darkness? Yes. Been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And then it says, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is saying those people, you who once, I once was not a people of God. I was not a person that was really had radar on my, or God on my radar. It says, who once were not a people, but are now the people, and who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The church is the new Israel. Woo! Now including Gentile believers who once were not a people and who had not obtained mercy. We find this quote from Hosea 1 as an indication that the apostles could view Old Testament prophecies about the national Israel as a fulfillment in the church, the new spiritual Israel. So just thought processes and studies there. I like this in the New Century Version. It says this, but you are a chosen people, royal priest, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God. Are you telling people about the wonderful acts of God? Who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are God's people. In the past you never received mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. That's the New Century Version, reading 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. Okay. Isn't it good to know? You hadn't mercy, but now you got mercy. You were in the dark, but now you're in the light. Oh, hallelujah. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Oh, Father God, I thank you right now for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your message, Father. Oh, Lord, I pray that it stirs within our spirits today and this afternoon, Lord. Praise God. I pray that it will stir into our spirits and our lives in the days to come. I pray, Lord, that we will receive and accept what you are calling us. A special people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a treasure, a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. We're set apart. We're sanctified. Hallelujah. I just pray that that resonates in our spirit in these days, Lord. I pray that we're able to share this with others with us that are around us, Lord, that they need to hear this same word, this same message, Father God. I pray for strength, vitality, and Lord, I thank you for the upcoming victories in each one of our lives. We praise you. We worship you now in that of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Build us up. Get us strong. Keep us strong. I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.